In Lamed, I think we all know, at least we should recognize these two prokim. So Chavtas, we obviously say when we bring back the Sefer Torah on Shabbos day, anytime that happens on Shabbos, and we say it on Friday night as the last part of our Kabbalah Shabbos, right before we say Lech HaDodi. So we have to discuss why those two times specifically refer to this Mishmah. So here we go. Mishmah LeDavid. Havu Hashem b'nei Elim, Havu Hashem kavavo. So give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, O sons of strong men. Give to Hashem honor and strength. Now, Chazal tell us that all of our Shemona Esrei is based on this Mishmah. That if we go through, there are 18 times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is mentioned over here, and thus we have 18 brachas in Shemona Esrei. One time, Hashem's name is sort of hinted to, there is ale or something like that, and that's the 19th bracha of Olam Al-Shinim. But it's brought down in brachos that here is where we get Shemona Esrei itself. Not only that, but we learn out the order of some of the brachos from right over here. Havol Hashem B'nei Elim is the Avos. The strong men refers to the Avos, and that's the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. Kavod Va'oz is Gvuros. That's the second bracha of Shemona Esrei. The next one, if Kavod Shemo, is Kedusha, and that's the third bracha of Shemona Esrei. So the actual order of those three parts of Shemona Esrei is really learned out from over here. That's number one. Number two, Elim over here also references HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that he is an Elim, that he is mute, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is strong in the sense that even when people say something to him, whatever, say things that are evil, or when Nebuchadnezzar does something that's totally wrong, destroys the Beis HaMikdash, up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's mute, he's silent, and he allows things to happen. So even though you say to yourself, like, ugh, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow this to happen? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever it is, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through and says, listen, I can be mute. I can allow things to happen in this world. I can, so to speak, hide myself from it. Now, Havel Hashem Kavod Shemo, give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or ascribe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the honor of his name, Yishtach Havel Hashem Adar Tzkodesh, and you bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Hadras Kodesh, in the splendor of holiness. Some say that that's where we learn from there, that you have to bow down during the first three brachos. I don't quite understand that, because then you'd bow down after the third bracha. Wouldn't that make a little bit more sense? Not over here. But we do say that we know that Chazal tell us, have told us that we should spend an hour in contemplation before davening and an hour in contemplation after davening, which of course every year Mekayim every single day, right? The hour before and the hour afterward. I actually don't know anybody who does it, but we do learn from over here the preparation that the Hadras Kodesh is that you have to go into your davening with Hidur, with a beauty, a certain type of beauty, some type of Hadras Kodesh. In that sense, you have to dress up for davening. That everybody should have something. I'm sorry?
No,
in theory, yeah. Sukkotism is achana in words, and then there's another achana of you for davening, that you have to wear something special, like a special shirt or a special whatever it is, or a jacket or a hat or some, whatever it is that you prepare for davening, that's straightening of your garments, and that's the Hadras Kodesh. Kol Hashem Alamai, the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upon all waters, El HaKavod Yerim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, with all his honor, is shown through thunder. Hashem Alamai Rabim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upon all the different waters over here. So first of all, you notice the waters are what's up in heaven. So you notice over here the Mayim that he represents over here. Mashiva Ruach Amori Degashem is one of the most obvious signs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the world, that no one can fully accurately predict the weather without question. Although this was predicted all day long, right? Nonetheless, you cannot fully accurately predict the weather because it can always change, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu always has the ability to change it no matter what they have in their radars.
You can also say you can't fully predict that the sun's going to rise tomorrow, but you can. Because Hashem could theoretically decide that the sun doesn't rise tomorrow, but
that's a good call. But there are natural things, and there are certain things that are a little bit beyond our understanding of the natural. So in our understanding,
when you say beyond our understanding of the natural, since we haven't reached that level of understanding yet, but
that's possible.
Could reach that level.
That's possible, but right now we're at a level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could change the weather at any time, and that wouldn't affect the entire world. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would cause the sun not to rise, for whatever reason, that would affect the entire world. If the world would stop its rotation of the earth, or the sun stops its rotation around the earth, right? Whichever one it's going to be, there's no question whatsoever that would affect everyone. Yeah, you'd assume so. But either way, regardless, that's that. We also know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the Mateach of rain, the key of rain. That's from the Gemara in Tainus on Bezim and Aleph. He owns the key of rain, the key of Chaya, which means giving birth to people, and Tchias HaMeisim. That belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's that. Kol Hashem Bakoa, Kol Hashem Bador, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice is in his power, showing what he does. as well as splendor, right? And that shows. Hey, listen, it's scary when there's a thunder clap that goes right by you. That's the koach of a kadosh baruch hu, so to speak, a voice that just keeps getting louder and louder and scary. Kol Hashem shovar rozen, the voice of a kadosh baruch hu breaks the cedar woods by Shabar Shamar Zayel of Anon, breaks the cedar woods of Lebanon. Now Lebanon, which is, I would assume, the same Lebanon as what we have today, was filled with cedar woods back in the day. I still think they do have some kind of a forest and some things up there, but I don't think they have the same forest as what they must have had back then, how many forests they must have had up there. But this is a reference to something else, not just wind, but this breaking of the cedar woods is through a huge wind, massive wind. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the water, and he's in charge of the winds as well, the gales that come upon cedar woods and everything like that, tremendous winds that go through. Could be, it's also a reference to Matan Torah, that Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed everything in the world from there. V'yarkidein kol ego, he made them dance around like a calf. Livanon v'siryon, this is the Livanon and Siryon, Siryon referring to another city, k'moven re'imin, like the children of a rhinoceros or a wild ox or whatever you want to call it. They were dancing around like that. I do not know what makes a wild rhinoceros or even a wild cow somewhat like that's considered dancing, but I guess it means like powerful. Kol Hashem chotzev lavoseish, the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to strike fire, and we have our third manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through nature, in which it would be through lightning. So we have not only the wind, not only the rain, and possibly the thunder through that as well, but the lightning that he casts down to the ground, allowing it through magnetic pulses, we'll call it, to allow things to happen. Kol Hashem yachol midbor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shakes the desert, yachol Hashem midbar kadesh, even the desert of Kadesh, and this refers to earthquakes. Even in uninhabited areas, it's still dangerous, let alone what happens when you have it in a very, very small, you know, compact area when you have an earthquake over there. Kol Hashem yachol ayalos. I just read an article in Reader's Digest, which is quickly turning into one of my favorite magazines of all time, because I just realized how good it is. They had an article about Seattle, the area around Seattle being one of the they just figured out that right next to it is one of the biggest fault line in the world. Like, it makes San Andreas seem like nothing. The one that's right outside of Seattle.
Yeah, and it has there too.
There's supposed to be someone
in
the west or something like that.
Well, like the Midwest.
Yeah, goes through there. But it's supposed to be, this is one that hasn't been used. Nothing's happened. It said it's been 150 years since the last big earthquake, and they're expecting one.
Well, they had Mount St. Helens.
Mount St. Helens is a good call. Yeah, and that is something there. Kol Hashem Yechol Ayalos. The voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the Ayalos, and Ayol, if you remember, is not an Ayil. An Ayil is a ram, right? In other words, like a sheep. And Ayol is a deer, right? Tzvi is really a gazelle, and Ayol is a deer. Ayalos, he causes the Ayalos to give birth. What that's referring to is the famous Medrash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the Ayala to stand up, and when it's ready to give birth, the womb is too narrow. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the snake to come, bite the womb, inject its venom, and give it some sort of, what do you do when you numb the entire area?
Anesthesia,
right? It's an anesthetic, right, that goes ahead and numbs the entire area through the poison, and then it's able to give birth. So the Chassam Sofer says we're referring to David HaMelech, that the way that David Melech had to be born without the complaints from the Satan was there for there to be a little bit of the Satan involved, the Nachash involved, in order for him to happen. And that's why there's a whole topic about who his father, who his mother was, right between the Shifcha and Yitzhavis Basa Doyle. But either way, regardless, that's the remez behind it. But either way, Kol Hashem Yechol Ayalos, by birthing the Ayalos, the deer, by Yechzov Yoros, he strips bare the forest of the Hechol Kulo Merkavot. Among his Hechol up above, all the Malachim call him, this is what they call him. They call him Kavod, that there is pure glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manifest to the Malachim, who see what he does down here on earth and what he does. Stripping the forest bare could be that he takes out the sun, says Miyam Lo'ez, and incinerates all the area around it, causes there to be a massive drought, in which there is nothing whatsoever except huge sun, and everything goes down. The grasslands are scorched, the ground is bare, and of course fires just continue to rage when that happens. Now here's a cool idea over here. Rav Chi and Rav Yosef were once traveling on the road from Usha to Lod. When the day began to set and night fell, they said, what do we do now? They said to each other, should we continue our way? It's dark, but if we stop here, there's a danger of robbers. So they sat underneath a tree, and instead of sleeping, they devoted themselves to Torah study to be able to make sure they passed through an uneventful night. So in the schus of the Torah study, at midnight, they heard a ayol come by them, calling out in a loud voice. Rav Chi and Rav Yosef trembled. They rose to their feet, and a bas kol came out and said, arise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entered Gan Eden to rejoice with the tzaddikim. That's what they heard. It's obviously from the Zohar, by the way. This is not a regular Gemara Bavli. So at that point it says, all of the every malach, they heard him say, all the malachim called out and said, kavod. So Rav Chiya said, it must be that it is Chatzos HaLaila at this moment. Because, of course, we would have known that, right? And that's why that voice comes out right at that time, happens exactly at that moment. And that's why the hind came in and calves, and I guess the forests were stripped bare, and that's Kulel Ner Kavod. That's what he refers to. Hashem L'mabal Yashav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sit among the floods by Yishav Hashem Melech Olam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king forever and ever. He is able to make floods in areas that had not had floods before, literally the exact opposite of the sun being taken out of its sheath, so to speak. And Hashem Ozlamo Yitain, Hashem gives to his people the strength that they need to survive. Hashem Yivarech Zemo Bashalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses his people forever and ever, and obviously the best bracha you can possibly get is Shalom. That's why we end our Shemona Esrei with Shalom. If this tefillah somehow refers to all the different parts of Shemona Esrei, now we don't know. We only know the first three, because we did Avos, Gevuros, and Kedusha. And this is Shalom, which would be the last bracha, then it's likely that every Shem Hashem, there are 18 Shemos of Hashem here, represents another one of the brachos of Shemona Esrei, and that if we were smart enough, we'd be able to look through and see every Shem of Hashem that's mentioned over here referring to the next bracha. So for example, right, we all know that after Atzah Kadosh comes Atzah Koneh. If we knew how to do it, we would say Yishtachavu L'Hashem Bahadras Kodesh clearly refers to Atzah Koneh. After Atzah Koneh comes Hashivenu. Kol Hashem Alamayim refers to Hashivenu. I don't know. I don't know how we would do that, but that would be the reference over here of the 18 brachos learned out from Yisrael Adavi. So the question is, why do we say it by Kabbalah Shabbos? Why do we say it on Shabbos, right, when you bring back the Sefer Torah?
We say it anytime we run
the Sefer Torah. No, L'David means more is usually Chavtes.
I'm sorry.
But L'David means more is what we usually do. This is a Chavdalet, I'm sorry. But this is only said on Shabbos. So it could be that we're ascribing power to our Kodesh Baruch. We're not able to say Shemona Esrei on Shabbos. So therefore we say it on Friday night or Shabbos. I'm sorry?
We don't.
No other time is said from Shabbos morning. Perhaps it's because we're trying to reference the fact that we were supposed to say Shemona Esrei, but we can't. Maybe. But you're right. According to that, then you'd have to do it three times on Shabbos. Friday night, we do it by Kabbalah Shabbos. Shabbos day, we do it by being wrapped the Sefer Torah. We'd have to do it by Mincha as well. That's a good call. So why would we do it then? So maybe that idea doesn't work. I don't know. I had no other idea as to why that's so. All right. Mizmor Shir Fanu Kazavai Zudavi. So I wrote up something in honor of Rabbi Schwartz. They wanted... Yeshurun pulled out a whole letter and they asked everybody to, for a foolish number of Rabbi Schwartz, to write up something in Tehillim that he could give out to everybody. So I wrote a different tirish to Mizmor Lamed and I sent it over to them a little bit ago. Just another explanation, a way of understanding what this Mizmor is talking about over here, using the words that we have here, trying to go through. So let's see what we have. I'm going to do the Mi'am Lo'ez and then the way that I understood it. But Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. This is the song, not just a shir, but a Mizmor as well. A zemer and a shir. Right, that's given over by the dedication of the house of David HaMelech. Now, Pashat Shach is referring to the house of David that he built, his palace. He was not Zocha to build the Beis HaMikdash. He was told by Nathan HaNavi that since he had waged war, he would not be Zocha to build the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps that was a good thing, that he wouldn't destroy the world and the Beis HaMikdash could eventually be destroyed itself. Right, but either way, regardless, it seems that he did sing this when he brought the Aron Kodesh into Ir David, and he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash and planned on doing it for that. Mizmor and Shir also could refer to the two Bathei HaMikdash. A Mizmor by the first Beis HaMikdash, a Shir by the second Beis HaMikdash, and perhaps the third Beis HaMikdash, we don't know whatsoever, because that greatness, we have no idea what the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be like. Regardless, that could be what's happening over here. Another thing that's mentioned is that maybe he was singing this after he had been forgiven for his sin with Bathsheba. Perhaps that's the reason why I said it. But regardless, this is a Mizmor that David HaMelech wanted to say at the Chanukah Sabayis of the Beis HaMikdash that he was never Zocha to, that he did not merit to be a part of. I exalt you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you have lifted me up. You did not allow my enemies to be happy over me. Even when I was running away from Shaul HaMelech and from Doeg and Achitophel and Avshalom and all the terrible things that were happening to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you always helped me. Everything that happened, you always took care of me. And my Yisurin made me into the person that I am today, and I'm humbled by it. That's the idea. Hashem Elokai, Shivati Elokai, Hashem my God, I have davened to you, Vatirpa Eni. and you allowed me to be healed. You gave me a refuah for whatever I needed. This doesn't have to be a refuah in what's called in Gashmias, meaning he was sick and he got healed, but rather a refuah in my soul, that even when I felt bad and I did something that's wrong, my Yisurin, I understood that this is for a better purpose, a higher purpose, and I brought myself up. Hashem Elisa Min Shol Nafshi, you brought my soul up from the grave, from Gehenna. Chisanim Yor Devor. You allowed me to live instead of being down in the pits of Sheol, in the pits of Gehenna, in all the terrible places over there. In other words, I deserve HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be sent down to Gehenna for what I've done and the sins that I've had. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you allowed me to do tshuva. You gave me time to do tshuva. You brought me up from those terrible, terrible situations. Zamal Hashem Chassidav. All of his Chassidim will sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hodu l'zecher kadsho and thank him for even just remembering about his holiness, knowing about his holiness. But the closer a person is to God, the more he realizes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for him and what he does for the world. So once you get there, hodu l'zecher kadsho, just to remember the holiness of God, that's big enough. Rega b'afo, chayim b'rtzono, because his anger is only 1 second. Remember where that references? The 1 second of anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Remember? Like Bilam. For 1 second is his anger, and Bilam knew when that second was and tried to curse Bnei Yisrael at that exact moment. We learn out from these words, ki rega b'apo. But Chaim, we live, even though he's so angry, there's so no, only because he wants us to live. Not because of anything we did, but rather because it's his rachman, pure rachman, that's it. But Erev Yalim Bechi, in the evening, I go to sleep crying, saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much I've done and how much I wish I had, La Bokarina, and I feel better in the morning. And that's true by almost everybody. Sometimes you just gotta sleep it off. You feel better when you get up in the morning. Everything feels just a little bit better. I know that there's a famous adage that you should never go to sleep angry. Right? After getting married, never go to sleep angry, right? I told my wife this. I said, sometimes you just got to sleep it off. Sometimes it just needs to be slept off. It's not always true. I don't feel it's always true. But you just can't get anything done. Unless you want to stay up until 6 o'clock in the morning and ruin your entire day the next day. And it's possible. That is possible. But usually, sleeping through, you'll be fine. You just got to get up and you'll wake up and you'll be like, I was an idiot. Hopefully she'll say that also. Probably not, but you just say that's that. One little thing over here. It's not a rega in and of itself. Rega is supposed to be 158,888th of an hour. So I figured out the cheshbon once. It's 0.012 of a second. That's how long HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry for, according to our, if that's what it means over there. 0.012 of a second is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry. So Tosfos asks famously, what are you supposed to say during that time? How could Bilam say something to get God angry at exactly that moment? It's only 0.012 of a second. So he said, he could say, Kalein.
You still can't say 0.012 of a second.
So that's the problem, right? Kalein, you could say, you could destroy them. And Hashem turned it into a bracha, and it became Melech, it became the king. And the king instead. If you look at Bilam's bracha, you look at Bilam's curse, I should say. He did say, because he figured it out. 3 times he tried to curse Klal Yisrael. But you can't curse 3 times. You have 1 second a day where you can do it. The truth is, he did it 3 times on 3 different days. 3 different days. And each day, he started off with something. Now, I am not counting the introduction. There is an introduction, right? Each one where he says, you know, each one, each thing all the way through. That's not what I'm counting over here. If you look through, where is it over here? Bow up. If you look through his curses, here we go. The first one starts off like this. Vayisam shalom, vayomar et cetera. Right, and he said, starts off with this. Ma'akov lo kavakel, ma'azon lo zom. Hashem, how can I curse? God doesn't want me to curse, etc. The beginning of the bracha is ki mirosh suri marani. The first letter of the bracha is cha. He said ki. He started that right at that moment. The next one. The second one is, here we go, lo ish el v'chazeh, lo, it's a lamed, that's how he started off. And the third one we all know, ma tovu alecha Yaakov, chok lamed mem, he started those letters, he started the words, exactly at that moment, so over a period of 3 days, he said, kalein. But Hashem didn't get angry, and turned it into melech. That you are the king. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mocking. If I'm a king, I need a nation, so I need the Jews to be my nation. That's what he ended up saying. It's a cool shot, but that's the idea. It's rega. I found it in the Chidah, I just adapted it. But that's the idea behind it. The Chidah says that he tried to say Kalein, and Kalein was on 3 different days. I feel that's the.
Wait, but he's the one who found the.
He said the Chup and the Lamed, the Masovu, he didn't say. I don't know why. The Chup and Lamed. Yeah, you'll figure it out. I think he really said it. He set up, you know, to be able to figure it out. It's amazing. And I say, bed in my tranquility when I was peaceful, when everything was going well, then I'm like, everything will stay this way forever. It's going to remain this way forever. I felt that way earlier in the day when I was looking at the sky and it was beautiful and sunny. I was like, oh, for sure it's not going to rain today. For sure. How in the world could it rain? Because that's the way we are. When things are going well, you're like, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen.
Somebody will look at my mind and say,
it's not a good thing. But regardless, you think to yourself, when life is serene, right, everything works out well, you're sitting there, everything's all good. Hashem Birzonza Maratel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you wanted it, have Maratel Laharios, you were able to make my strength, stood me up, you allowed me to be the person I was supposed to be. He starts up an echo. But then when you hid your face, I got scared out of my mind. There was nothing I could do. I got scared and I was shaken from underneath me. When you wanted me, right, it's all to you, in other words. It has nothing to do with what I did or what I have. It's up to you. You allowed me to be serene. You allowed me to be scared. Elach Hashem, I call out to you, Hashem, Elach Hashem Eschanon. And then I call out my prayers to you. I daven to you. I call out to you and I just call out completely. And then I ask for something. I have a supplication, a specific thing. Karov Hashem Lekol Korov. I just call out to Hashem. And then with Sony Ray of Yasa, right, I go ahead and I ask for something. Not Betzev Adami. Hashem, what profit do you get if I bleed? If I go down to Gehenna, Hayot Ka Four, will the dirt thank you? Hayagin Mitecha, will it tell over your truthness? What point is there, Hashem, to let me die? Why should I die? What will you gain by me dying? If, in fact, it's better if I live. Shema Hashem Achaneni, Hashem, you should listen and grant me favor. Hashem Yozer Li, be my Ezra, help me, take care of me wherever I need to go. Pasuk Beis, Hafaktim Yisperilim Acholi. Thus, you will have turned my misfaith, my lamentations. I think that's the real word for it, right? Lamachuli, it'll be dancing. Now I know hested is a eulogy, but it can't be that way because clearly in the idea. But I don't think hested really stands for a eulogy in and of itself. I know that's how we use it. I think it's a borrowed term. The reason why is because we say in Megillah, right, that everybody was doing. They were taking donning sackcloth and misbeid ubechis. Misbeid does not mean they're eulogizing everybody.
So
that's an interesting call that they were saying about themselves. But I think it's more.
Here he is, he was like himself.
I don't think it's that. I think it's a lamentation. It's like a sadness. It's like saying over like all the sad things that that you have, right? Telling over like, I can't believe this happened. So in a way, a eulogy is sort of for a pick me up. Maybe not. Maybe they don't use it in that way. Really, an elegy is a pick me up, and a eulogy is either or, saying bad or saying good.
Someone's lamenting their life. It feels like in the Megillah, they weren't lamenting their lives. They were kind of like trying to like serve themselves with a shoe.
Correct.
Like they're eulogizing, like, what did I do with myself? I didn't do anything.
I don't know if I'd call it a eulogy. I would say it's a lamentation. They're lamenting what they didn't do. So, great. Maybe it's just, a tomato, tomato. I just think that that's the idea behind it. But I remember Rabbi Cohn asking that, getting up and saying, what is a hesped? What are they doing hespedim for? And I was like, it's not a eulogy. I remember saying that, but nobody listened. Pitakta sati, you loosened. I got out. Get him out of here. You opened up my sackcloth. You took away my sackcloth. The Taz Rainy Simcha, and you girded me with happiness. You belted me with Simcha. In other words, you made sure that Simcha became a part of my clothing, so to speak, a part of me. Laman Zimarka Chavod below Yidom, so that my soul will sing to you and never be silent. Hashem Elokai, Hashem my God, Olam Odeka. I will always thank you. I will always thank you for something like that. And this is the idea. Not only for the positive will I thank you. Olam Odeka means I'm going to thank you even when something negative happens. I'm going to make a bracha even when something bad happens. That you can still make something, you can make a bracha of Dayana Emes when something bad happens. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you in all situations. That's the idea that's learned out from that Talmud. So the Talmud was trying to say, now tell me, did you see anything about the Pesach Mikdash in there?
No.
Nothing. But it's interesting. So what do you mean by the bias? The Pesach Mikdash. Well, what else has to do with the Pesach Mikdash? So Chazal tell us that the goof of a person is a bias mullet. In fact, I have a sefer written by a guy, a doctor named Tuvia Harofe, 300 years old, was reprinted not too long ago. But this sefer, Tuvia Harofe, it's an unreal sefer. Maitre Tuvia is what they call it. He has an entire section on how the human anatomy is the exact same thing as a two-story house. How he understands it. It's amazing what he does through of how he understands what each part goes. And he shows a picture of a house and he puts a body in it. It's kind of freaky. But I will tell you, it's an amazing idea how he puts it in. I've never read the section through because it's a hard thing to learn through, and it's a lot of Kabbalah. But he goes through exactly that. So I think that's the pshat. Everybody thinks it means the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. It's really his own dedication of his own bias. This is like his last words, his last rites before death. That's really what it refers to. It really refers to how he himself went to what.
Why didn't you say this for Hanukkah and Beis HaMikdash? How do you connect that?
See, I'm not positive. I'm thinking that the greater a person is, and the more you improve on yourself, then you're zilka to build the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe something along those lines. Hanukkah, I don't get. Hanukkah, I really don't get. I have no idea.
It's Hanukkah.
I know. And that is Hanukkah is really
in your body.
Yeah.
You have to go to the Mishkan before you go to the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, that's true. So you have to renew yourself, make yourself new. Something like that. It's got to be somewhere along those lines. I just don't have an exact
answer. You say this before Baruch Shalom.
Yeah. You say it as well, right?
We say it, but we omit the first puzzle.
You don't think it's more sure?
I don't mean a puzzle.
Okay.
So I was wondering why. So I'm wondering, if the answer means if we're not making our last statement here, we're just trying to get
very good. Very good. It's not about that. It's very, very good. I'll also say, I want to check Sfard. This is Sfard.
I'll tell you what they do.
They do Mizmashir.
They do Mizmashir. And then they do three things.
Shemnella, whatever it is.
Yeah.
No, but I think you say Mizmashir. I don't know if say the word. But the Sfaradim, they don't say, they take all Mizmashir. I wonder what the team on him do. Do what? They're probably like you. They have the same thing. Not adding on that line. Oh, but that's the reason why we do it in the beginning of Davening. The reason why we do it in the beginning of Davening is because the perfection of the human being. We want to perfect ourselves every day. So before we start anything, before we go, that's the perfect tachana to get into Davening. My only question is, why Mizmor Shirchanu Ksavayis L'David is written after Mizmor L'David, which talks about Shemot Esrei. To me, it sounds like the hachana should come before the Shemot Esrei. But you know what? Honestly, that doesn't matter so much, because if you'll notice later on, Shabbos is Mizmor Tzadi Day, is Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, and Hashem Malach is Tzadi Gimel, which is our Friday Yom. I remember Mr. Nagar, who's a Tzimani, he asked me in Shul once, why do you do Friday's Yom after Shabbos' Yom? So I said, well, I do Friday's Yom after Shabbos' Yom because that's how it is in Tehillim. Tzadi Day, Tzadi Gimel. Then he said, well, why is Tehillim that way? I'm like, I have no idea. It's an interesting call. All right, let's start.
So wait,
Lamed Aleph, yeah.
What was your explanation and then your shot on that?
I think that's it. That is the human body, so to speak. I added it on. Now we have for the conductor another Mizmor of David HaMelech. The Chosham Chosisi. Yeah.
You don't say Mizmor Shir?
Why do you have a Yemenite sitter on your phone?
Yeah.
Oh, you have like one of those apps?
Oh, there. You got every single sacred without think of.
No, it doesn't. I need a Mabit. I need a shell to choose Mabit. I was looking for one earlier today.
You gotta shoot.
There's a map for that.
Yeah, I'm sure there is something. But I was looking for one. Mabit is actually not that hard to find. But if he does have it, I'd be impressed. Let me tell Mizmor Mabit. For the conductor, another Mizmor of David HaMelech. I've taken refuge in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alei Bo Shel Olam. And if I do so, if I take my refuge in you, I'm not going to be ashamed. I won't be embarrassed. Because of your righteousness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am going to be saved. You will save me. That's the idea behind it. Yeah.
David arranged them in order that he written them, or did he write them in a different
way? That's a good question. We don't know that when David and Melech put them together. Some of these Mizmorim apparently weren't written by David and Melech himself. They were composed by others, and maybe he changed the wording around, maybe he renewed them a little bit, but I don't know. I don't know when it did. It's certainly not in order.
I am Gimel, that's probably the middle of the Reza Yishai.
Right, for sure.
The middle.
Right, but that's the first book.
No, I am Gimel, like the third one.
Oh, third book, whatever it is. Like, but that's the end of a certain book.
Right.
There's no question that the Shira Malos we don't ascribe to anybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but why wouldn't the end of the fifth book be Kavut Tefillot HaRevi'i?
It might have been that he wrote it at a certain point. That might have been a whole book that he put together and then added it in. That's a kasha. But I will tell you, there is a Gemara in Ruffles, Daf Dalid, not here, We don't have a brachos here. All right, don't worry. If it's right there, grab it. If not, not. But the Gemara says, regarding Avshalom Shkoyach, in the first, it said, thank you. We know that Avshalom happened at the end of David Melech's life. And we know that Gog and Magog is a reference to something all the way in the future, right? That's going to be all the way over there. So a min, an apikoris, asked, and I can't remember who.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. He asked, why is it out of order? Why do you have this one before that one? And he answered, you guys who don't darshan smuchen, you have a problem which one comes first. But we darshan smuchen. Therefore, we don't have a shiloh. We don't have any question about which one comes first.
That's Hamabiz.
Hamabiz? No, that's Yisurin. That's Yisurin. Yeah?
It's right here.
No, this is Kriyashma and the Shaden. I don't remember. Maybe it's a little bit. I don't remember where it is. But he said, we darshan smuchim. So in other words, the answer to the question is, right, the answer to your question is, like, who put them in order? It could be that David Melech had, oh, wait, here we go. Amalei Ahutsuduki Lu Rabbi Yavoa. Ahutsuduki said to Rabbi Yavoa, that's why I opened up the top here. That's funny, actually. Ahutsuduki said to Rabbi Yavoa, Ksiv Mizmo Adavi Bevorchom Neavshalom Beno. Mizmo Adavi, when he ran away from Avshalom, Ksiv Adavi Nechtom Bevorchom Minei Shol Bamara. Right. And then, not Gogamo, that's the next one. But Lidav and Mithim when he was running away from Shoal. Hi, my Dav of Aresha. Which one was first? Mithim, my Shoal of Aresha. Shoal was first. Lift of Aresha. So why not write Shoal on Melech's thing before you wrote about Avshalom? Says Amalei. This is where Rabbi Yavoa answered. Atun, Dolo Darshin, Smuchen. You guys don't have the concept of Smuchen, of putting two things together to Darshin something. You don't have that. Kasha Lakhu. Therefore, you have this as a Kasha. But Anu, to Darshin at Smuchen, Lo Kasha Lon. We Darshin Smuchen. And therefore, it's not a kasha to us. Domer of Yochan and Smukum in a Torah, Minayan, etc., and it goes on. So he says, so what's Pshat? Roman is called Parsha Avshalom and Parsha Gog Magog. Why was Avshalom put next to Gog Magog instead of Shol? Should have put Shol next to Gog Magog and then put Avshalom after that. If a person says, how could Gog, the king of Magog, how could he rebel against his master and fight against them and defeat him? Where have you ever seen an Eved defeat his master? Have you ever seen a son rebel against his father and try to take over his kingdom? It happens. This will also happen. He's king of Magog and he fights against the nation that subjugated him, which we call Edom, whatever Edom is. So that's what's supposed to happen, that Gog rebels, takes over, and then all of a sudden destroys almost all of our Saul and is defeated by Mashiach ben David, however that goes. But that's the idea behind it. So we have Smuchen. So who put it together? Assumably David HaMelech. But, you know, there's no way to prove that, and there's no way to say. Whoever did it was brilliant, because you did have drushos that are mentioned by the Gemara as why one is next to the other. But anything else, I don't know. All right, here we go. This Talon was written when he was by Selamach Locus. Shol and all of his men surrounded him on all sides of the rock. They were ready to storm. There was no way for David HaMelech to get out. And at that moment, when David HaMelech thought everything was gone, Shaul was called away to war because the Plishtim had started fighting, and Shaul had to run away. And he told David, don't worry, I'm coming back for you. David's like, well, I'm not going to be here. David Melech ran away, right, while Shaul Melech ran out to go help the people, the surge that had happened over there. And he was saying, I had total bitachon in you the whole time. That's what David Melech was saying. I was never embarrassed, and in your tzidkus, I was saved. You turned your ear to me, you quickly saved me. You are my rock of strength. You are a fortress in front of me to save me. That's what you ended up being for me. Even in supernatural ways, this was a supernatural way. Granted, it was through natural means, but it was absolutely not something that anybody could expect. You are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, lead me and guide me into the right place. That is an interesting call. He climbed up the rock very quickly in order to escape from Shaul HaMelech. To get down from that rock will be very, very difficult. I just read, did you hear that what's the top mountain? Mount Everest. That people died coming down.
Yeah.
Not going up, coming down.
Yeah.
Lack of oxygen, whatever it is. But that's unbelievable. Like, you imagine, you made it. You did it. You're all the way up there. But it's coming down that's the big problem. That's the issue. I remember there was a rock climbing thing in this place that we went to, and I took my kids to over Pesach, this huge rock climbing thing. It went like 30 feet in the air. So one of my kids got up there, right, climbed up, slowly but surely went up, and went up like 25 feet in the air, and then turned down, looked at me, and said, "Daddy, I completely, like, freaked out. Now, there was no way for him to fall, because he was on a little thing, and all even if he let go, he let go, and he slowly goes down. He could not let go. He was literally white hands against. I had to climb up the next thing up and grab him and hold on to him as we fell down together. That's what he had to do. He wouldn't let go. It's sad. I don't want to say it. But it wasn't Ezra. That I can tell you for sure. It wasn't Devorah either, although Devorah was scary. So, Tzieni Mereshizu, Tom Nuli Kiatomuzi. You should take me out from this trap, from the net that they have hidden for me, Kiatomuzi, because you are my stronghold. The Zifim, these are the people that told Shaul HaMelech where David HaMelech was hiding. They set out traps, bear traps, all around to try to catch David HaMelech. And you made sure that I didn't step in any of those traps. All those different areas of the Zifim itself. Yotzbat Kiruchi, I put my hand, my soul, inside your hands. Padiso, you have redeemed me. Ozi Hashem Elames. You are mine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Padiso, see. Hashem Elames, the God of truth. That's what it is. And that obviously is a reference to what we say at night. Yotzbat Kiruchi, Beisi Shan Ve'aira. Right? That line over there. But it's that idea behind it over here. It's similar to a traveler who was attacked by robbers, right? They surrounded him at all time, and they demanded the gift that he had received from the king. Meanwhile, the king happened to pass by, and the robbers all ran away, right? That idea behind it. The robbers could do nothing, right? Because the king had just come at that moment to go over there. And that's what David HaMelech was saying. You stood by me when I needed you the most. I despise those people who watch out for the vanities of life, who look out for nothingness and falsehoods and things like that. I instead have my bitachon. I trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea behind it. I never went to stargazers. I never went to the spell casters and things like that. Shaul HaMelech couldn't say that. Shaul HaMelech at the end of his life didn't know what to do. He needed to know what to do with the police ship. And he didn't have the Urim V'Tumim, because that went with David HaMelech. He didn't have the ability, or maybe a different Urim V'Tumim, but it wasn't working. He wasn't being answered through Nebuah. The Nevi'im weren't telling him anything. He wasn't getting anything through dreams. He said, there's nothing else I can do. I have to go through a Baal Ohud. He said, David HaMelech, if that would happen to me, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have said such. I wouldn't have gone into such an idea. Well, David HaMelech had situations like this. There were situations. He had the Urim V'Tumim with him mostly. Did he have the Urim V'Tumim with him at the end when he ran away from Avshalom? I don't think so. No, he didn't have it because he sent them back. He told them to go back. When he went through, he did not ask the Urim V'Tumim what to do. I think there's a reason why, because he passed him that he was no longer a king when Avshalom took over for those, whatever it was. He might not be a king. The only time he used the Urim V'Tumim is for the nation, for the king, and he's not the king. I forgot why, but he didn't use it at that time. So, yeah, but he didn't do it in that way. You have not given me over into the hands of my enemies. You allowed my feet to step into a broad place, into an area where I could go anywhere and do whatever I need to do. Chaneni Hashem. Give me favor, Hashem, because I'm in distress. My eyes waste away through kach, through anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nafshi ubitni. My soul and my stomach, they all, I feel terrible when this goes through. I can't go through it. I hate it. I can't deal with it. My life will end through sorrow. My years through sighing or groaning. My sins weaken my strength, and my body, my bones waste away completely. David Melch is saying that he had many, many wasted years in groaning and suffering that he wasn't able to learn and dive into a Kodesh Baruch Hu properly. There were 6 months when he had Saras, and he was not considered a regular king in what he did. And in that sense, that's there. Others say, you know what this refers to? It's a really sick thing. He said, I never should have killed Goliath. Everything happened because I killed Goliath. I was living an awesome life. I was a farmer, dealing with all the, you know, my sheep and everything, doing everything I needed to do, davening, learning, doing everything I wanted to do. And once I killed Goliath, then I became king of Klal Yisrael, and everything went bad from there. Everything went down from there. But Shaul HaMelech started to hate me. Doeg and Achitov started chasing after me. What do I need this for? I didn't need to become king. I shouldn't have killed Goliath in the first place. And that's what he's saying, right? That's when it happened. At that moment, I became weak in Kol Torah, Yisri careful. Because my adversaries have become a disgrace. And to my neighbors very much. And a dread to all my the people who know me. The people that see me in the street, they run away from me. Spread rumors. Say, he's Mizana with Eishasish. He does terrible things. Another thing that's interesting over here that we learned from this Gemara in Brachos over here says, not from here. No, it's not yet. Hold on. I have been forgotten like a dead person from people's hearts. I used to kli obeid. I was like a lost kli. I had no hope. This at a time when he was running away to Achish, the king of the Plishtim, in order to get away from Shaul HaMelech. He felt that nobody remembered him. He had killed thousands of Plishtim, tens of thousands of Plishtim, and nobody in Bnei Israel remembered that he had done such a thing, and Shaul HaMelech continued to run after him, and that's that. The halacha is, and I think we all know this, that you stop saying Kaddish after 11 months. But the real, that's only because Gehenna would never last 12 months. We don't assume that that happens. But the truth is, the mace is never nishkach min alev until after 12 months. I don't know how that works, if something happens automatically or something, I don't know. But it's supposed to be 12 months in which everything gets a little bit better, where then it becomes a little bit easier to be able to handle. The idea is that this is the pshat that David Melch was saying. There's 12 words in the previous pasuk and in the letters of Nishkachti Kemes Milev. David Melch felt that he was mamish like a dead person that everyone had forgotten about, that no one was thinking about or helping or doing anything for. Kishamati Divas Rabin, because I heard the whispering of all the people around me, right? Terror on every side, saying what I've done wrong and saying that they want me dead. Be Vostam Yakar Alai. They get together, they take counsel against me, Lakach Nafshi Zimamu, and they plot to take my soul. That's what happened. Some say this verse is Doeg and Achitofel, by inciting Avshalom against him, Doeg by inciting Shalom Elach against him. He heard the whispers and everything that was going on, and it was terrible for all the people around. Vani Alech Batati Hashem, but I have trusted you, Hashem. Amarti Elokayato. I said, you are my God. You're going to take care of me. Yotcha Yitosai. All of my times and everything I've done is in your hands. Save me from my enemies and from those who chase after me. That's a good sign over here. Oh, very quickly, yeah.
Did he write these things like as it happened or as a reflective, you know?
I think it's reflective.
It sounds reflective.
Certain psukim he might have said at that time. Like, you know, like you come up with a song or something. You might have had something and maybe it was a dirge that he was saying at the time. But putting everything together certainly sounds like it was later. I don't know if that's for sure true, though. Again, going back to what we said before, he said the times, the times that he refers to, is through astrology. His enemies, Doeg and Achitofel, were very into the astrology up above and what was going to be. And they would look up at the heavens and see what was going to be and what they could do and how they could defeat David HaMelech. When Doeg HaDomi saw that David was chased out by the Phoenician, he thought that that's what he could do to defeat David HaMelech. Put him by the Phoenician and let him die by the hands of the Phoenician. Achitofel might have seen that Avshalom had taken over, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu took both of them down and obviously thwarted their plans and took care of those plans. And I, David HaMelech, from my side, I never look up at the stars. I know what astrology is. Is it astrology or astronomy? I'm saying it right. Astrology, right? Yes. I know what astrology is. I know the ways of seeing things in the stars, but I don't look that stuff up. I don't get involved with that. I believe in Ashkafa that deals with me every day. I believe in that type of Ashkafa Pratis, right, that the Rambam says only applies to Tzadikim and that the Ramban says applies to every person in every moment. I believe that that's what happens over here. You're taking care of my times, and that's the idea behind it. I'm trying to think. There was one time where I remember Doeg HaDomi said something that had to do with astrology. I forgot what it was, though. Light your face or shine your face upon your servant Oshieni b'chasecha and save me in your chesed. Hashem, do not let me be embarrassed when I call out to you. Let the Rishayim be embarrassed. Yid mulishol, let them be silenced by being put to the grave, right, by dying and going to Hanum as well. Allow that to happen. Te'alam netiv shesheker. Let the lips who speak out falsehoods be mute. Hadovros of tzadik asok, the gavavuz, who speak about a tzadik, obviously referring to me, or maybe referring to Rus, right? Asok means arrogantly, with gaiva and booze. I shouldn't say asok is now. Asok is contempt. Yeah, that's a better word for it. Something disgusting things about me. How great is the good that you have kept waiting for those who fear you? In other words, I can't imagine what Olam Haba is going to be like. It's going to be awesome. Olam Haba at the end of days. You have done this for those who take refuge in you, negative and adam, opposite the sight of men, opposite what people see. I can't wait. to see the good that you have hidden for them. Tachfir and Besetzer Benecha, you hide them by the cover of your face. Miruchse Ish, from the plottings of men. Tits Benaim, you have concealed them. Besukkah, all right, in a sukkah, Miriv Lashonos, from the strife of tongues, from the many people say out terrible, terrible things of Lashon Hara, you save the people, right, in that. It's an interesting line. Besukkah, right? The sukkah itself, the line over here, there's a line from the what's it called? The Gra. The Gra is famous that he says that all three deals with the tongue, so to speak. The Sama, the Kaf, and the Hay all deal with the inside of the mouth in a different way, right? That it refers to, I forgot what it is. Zashas Ratz is the Sama. Right? The Kaf is the, right, this is it. The tongue is needed to say the Sama. The teeth are needed to say the Kaf, right? And the palate is for the hay. Oh no, the throat is for the hay. It's not the person who's saying Lashon Hara. So maybe it's the palate? I don't remember which one it is. Got what it is. Either way, the Gra says that these three letters represent the tongue and that one should never speak Lashon Hara inside a sukkah. That you can speak about certain things, but you should never speak Lashon Hara inside a sukkah itself. It's especially worse than a sukkah, says the Gra. And it's from this pasuk, Tits Benaim, the sukkah Mariv Lashonos. I didn't look it up beforehand. I remember there being a Vilna Gaon specifically on this from this pasuk. Alright, either way. Baruch Hashem, Ki Yivli Chatzo, Li Be'ir Matzor. Baruch Hashem, that he has done wondrous chassadin for me in a fortified city, right? And that's the idea, wondrous kindnesses at every time. And I said, in my haste, I'm cut off from before your eyes. You're not seeing me. You're not allowing me to live. You're doing terrible things to me. But you heard the voice of my supplication when I have davened to you. Love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of his devout ones, all of his chassidim. And munim notzer Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu preserves those who have emuna, those who have faith. And he pays back those who act with gaiva, all those who act extra haughtily, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of them. Now once again, emunim notzer Hashem, emunim notzer Hashem is a reference to a person who answers amen. That a person who answers amen, notzer Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of that guy. Strengthen and be courageous with your heart. Anybody who hopes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the idea of what he wants to say over here. Okay, the last one in this sefer of here, I think we'll be able to finish on the base. It's a short one. The David Maskil. To David Melech, we have a Maskil. We talked about Maskil before, that it's something which was, either it's referring to something of great cunning and wisdom or something like that. Asherin Nisutasha, happy is the one whose sins are forgiven. Kisui Chato, whose sins are covered up completely. This entire mizmor is about a person who's able to do tshuva and what tshuva does for a person. Happy is a person who no longer has his sins in front of him. Happy is a person who God doesn't even count the sins for him, Ibaruch Ramiya, and he has no guile, no trickery within his spirit. He's not even trying to trick people or hurt people. He would never do such a thing. That's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously judges people that are tzaddikim more severely, right? Everybody is a little bit more severe, but this is the idea behind it. A man owed a great deal of money, and his creditor took him to court. He had no money to repay the debt, however, right? And his friend advised him to plead poverty. He just say, you don't have any money to be able to pay it back. So he went home, let's use it in our terms. He went home, got out his Lexus, put on his most expensive Versace suit, and got in his Lexus to go drive to court. So his wife looked at him and said, if you go into court like that, with that suit and that car, and you plead that you have no money, what do you think the judge is going to say to you? Go sell your car. Go sell your suit. Right? That's what he's going to say to you. Right? That's the idea. So the pshat is that man has to do the mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you plead exhaustion. You go up to Shemayim and you say at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I couldn't do it. I couldn't try so hard. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. I didn't have the strength. Right? I was depleted of all my energy. But if you go up there and you say, but look at what I did in this world. I gained a ton of wealth. I was an awesome sports player. I used all my energy for this and that and the other. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like, wait, didn't you just tell me you had no energy? How were you able to use your energy toward that if you had no energy to do this? How could that be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I couldn't get up to daven. I couldn't get up to daven. I was exhausted. If you're exhausted, then why did you do X, Y, and Z? clearly you weren't exhausted. That's the line that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to use on it, and that's the idea that's said over here. Check Rashi. When I was silent, that's why my bones were wasted, v'shagasi kol yom, and I roared, anguish roaring, all day long. And that's what happens when I failed to study Torah, or failed to do what I was supposed to do. Kiyom v'layla tikhfar alay adecha, your hand was heavy upon me day and night, trying to do what I was supposed to do. Nepach l'shadi b'chavoni kaitzela. And then my sap, all of my power was turned into a drought of the summer, as if I had nothing left, sela. Right? Because I was tired, I couldn't do that much. Therefore, I will tell you of my sins. I will not withhold from you the things I did wrong. Amarti, I will admit my pshayim to Hashem. That's on Asasa Abu Khatasela, and you will forgive my sins. Notice how he said that over here. Khatasi, Avoni, and Pshai. Achas is the chas is something you do b'shogeg. And Avon is something you do b'mezin. And Pasha is something you do b'mered. Rebelling against the Kaddish Baruch Hu, who obviously doesn't get any there. Yisurin, he said, when I saw the amount of Yisurin that I had, I had to check my deeds, and I realized that I was doing something terrible, and there were terrible consequences that were going to be coming from it. Therefore, it's chosid, every chosid should daven you when they have their time in need. Do not allow the overflowing waters to reach him and to kill him. Don't allow that to happen. What is this, by the way, of la'eis mitzo? So those who remember the Gemara in Brachos, it says, one says, la'eis mitzo means at a time of death, you should daven for a good death. Others say you should daven for a good wife. Others say you should daven for a good burial. Others say you should daven for a bathroom right near your house. Now Chazal tell us that that's the greatest bracha of all. To have a bathroom that's readily available at any point. Now, I just stop. Happens to be, I'm looking at houses. I don't know what I'm going to buy, but I'm looking at houses. One of the only things that I really care about when I'm looking at these houses, obviously like little things, bathrooms. I need a good bathroom. I do. I need a good bathroom. It's one of the smallest things, and yet it's there. And I'm being Mekayim the Gemara and Mekayim this Pasuk. Okay, either way. But that's what's so. Another way of looking at it, by the way, is also old age. To have an easy old age. That when I become older, that I don't have the same issues that other people do, that that shouldn't happen. But that's the idea behind it. Good wife is also important. Atah Seser Li, you are my hiding place. Mitzart Tzreni, save me from my distress. Rani Falait, that, by the way, is the same basic line as before. Rani Falait, you take me out, you save me, right, in good times, so many Sela, from all the things that surround me, Sela, and you do that forever. There's a refuge there. I will make you wise, and I will instruct you, I'll teach you, what way to go. I will give you advice. My eye is upon you, and this is really referring to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. If you listen, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu to David, then I'll give you everything you need. I'll see you, and Havim. Do not be like a horse or a mule that does not understand what's going on. The Mesig Varesin, when he takes on his reins or his the saddle, Ed Yoli Blom, he does nothing else. Balkro Belecha, right? That should not be close to you. You take the bit and everything else, and so they don't come anywhere near you. A horse and mule obviously have absolutely no understanding. They just do whatever they're supposed to do, and that's that. Their mouths have to be stopped up so that they don't bite, right? They just do whatever they feel is the right thing for them at the time. You can't be that way. You can't be like a horse or a mule, just doing whatever you want to do at any given moment. You should go away from the way that they are. Horses, by the way, are very big in Arias. That's a Gemara and Pesachim on that Kufiyat Gimel. Very big into Arias. That's number one. Mules, right, are rebellious. They're very rebellious, and they're willing to go up against their master. So don't be like a mule and a horse giving in to your taivas and rebelling against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's the idea behind it. Rabbi Machod in the Russia, there are many sorrows to the Russia. But if you trust in our Kaddish Baruch Hu, then you don't see things as bad. You feel as if Chesed is surrounding you at all times. Rejoice in Hashem and rejoice all tzaddikim arninu kol yishrei lev, and everybody who is upright of heart should think and sing to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything's there. And that's the idea. A man of great piety suffered a leg injury, and a person went up to him and said, I feel so bad for you, I feel so sorry that happened. Tzaddik replied, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the injury is in my leg and not in my eye. Baruch Hashem, it happened like this. We all know Nachum Yishkamzu's story. Nachum Yishkamzu lost his legs, his arms, everything else. Rabbi Akiva came to visit him. The Gemara doesn't say Rabbi Akiva, but the Yerushalmi says Rabbi Akiva came to visit him and said, Rabbi, what happened to you? Nachum Yishkamzu said, Baruch Hashem, you see me this way, right, because of something that happened to me before, that I didn't give a poor person money. Baruch Hashem, that I have my current punishments here than I have it there. When Rabbi Eliezer got sick, all the Chachamim came to visit him. And every single one of them told him, oh, Yisurin is a kapara, Yisurin is going to help you, etc. And Rabbi Akiva got up and said, Chaviv and Yisurin, you should love your Yisurin.
Adela's like, everyone else get out. Rabbi Akiva, what are you talking about? And Rabbi Akiva said, he's like, I thought up until now that you had received all of your reward in this world instead of the next world. Now I see that you got a lot of punishment in this world so that you can get more in the next world. So Rabbi Akiva looked at it and told it to his Rabbi. Rabbi was like, Micham Tani, that's impressive. That's impressive. That's the idea. If you look at it with that vein, that way of looking at it, then it gets a little bit better. When you look at it as, it's a punishment and I hate life and I can't do anything, obviously it becomes a worse, you make it into a worse punishment, so to speak. All right, we're going to stop with that for right now.